morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time you choose to listen to us. We are so glad that you do, and you are listening to another Youth Ministry Podcast, a ministry of the Board of Youth and Young Adults of the Bible Fellowship Church. Another Youth Ministry Podcast strives to refocus, recapture, and realign student ministry with a grace-filled and gospel-focused vision. I am one of your hosts, Chris Von Holt, and I am joined by my brothers, Jared Burkholder and Tim Hogan.
What's up, everyone? How you doing?
It's like the week before Christmas. This is exciting.
It is. Exciting. And it feels like the week before Christmas because it just snowed like a banshee.
Yeah. Tim, what is a banshee?
Honestly, I never heard this term before, so guys, I'm out.
And does a banshee snow a lot?
No idea. Anyone have an understanding of where this phrase came from?
Chris's term. So.
I've heard that as a saying. I literally just Googled it. It says a banshee is a female spirit in Irish folklore who heralds the death of a family member, usually by wailing, shrieking, or keening.
So, again, this is why I have never heard this phrase. I just would have said it snowed a lot.
Snowed like a storm.
I think I first heard that term as in like loud like a banshee, which is
so you
would
decided
make sense.
To say,
and it just sounded like it was an extreme thing.
Yeah. So snow like the banshee.
Yeah,
snow extreme.
So now that I know the word, maybe I won't use that anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't
Practical tip of the day: know the definition of words that you use.
Research words,
and then dealing with snow and lots of it. Our practical tip is this: get a snowblower.
Invest
in a snowblower. And we were just talking about this morning that another great reason to buy that snowblower is you can love on your neighbors.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So great opportunity.
Do the driveways and the sidewalks. And
As a, you know, and that doesn't just apply to pastors, but as a Christian, I mean, it's, you might say, well, I can't afford one. Well, I don't know what you can afford, but I just bought mine for $160 used on Facebook Marketplace and it works great.
There you go.
Practical tip. Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, there you go. That's where you can buy all kinds of things. But on a more personal practical tip, because, you know, we usually do one for student ministry, and what we want to put out there for you guys is we have talked about the importance of networking, and we understand that some of you might be ministering in places like New England, and you're like 300 miles away from another church. And so we just want to put it out there, like, we are a podcast and we are a humble podcast and we know that, but we're just three normal guys who are pastors. And if you need good connection, if you're struggling with something, you need some advice, you need just to talk to somebody, you need to vent, reach out to us. You can always contact us on what, Jared?
Yeah, email us at another YMpodcast at gmail.com.
Very smooth.
Very smooth. And, we're on Instagram, so you can reach out that way too.
We'd love to encourage you. Love to talk to you. Love to pray for you.
And we'd be happy to talk to you over the phone. So,
So if you reach out, we'll give you Tim's phone number and you can call him.
Should we do that right now?
Right now. Three, two.
Bring it on. I try to pick up the phone calls many times when I get the spam risk phone calls.
Yeah. You answer those?
Yeah, I try to engage them. I think everybody needs someone to talk to.
Yeah, those people don't need someone to talk to. They're trying to scam you.
Anyway,
well, I just realized on our podcast notes, we didn't actually put a transition into how we're going to move into today's topic, but in all reality, there's probably not a...
There's no transition.
Smooth transition. So... Today, we are continuing our conversation about sexuality in youth ministry. Last episode, we talked about why engage the issue.
Yeah.
Today, we are going to pause. And here comes my neighbor. What did I say? Yeah, I just realized in our podcast notes that we don't have anything written for transition. We dropped the ball. But in all reality, that's probably natural because this topic...
There's no natural transition.
Yeah,
no, from holiday snow to
right.
what we're talking
right.
about, which
sex.
Is what?
Sex.
Yeah, sexuality.
Sexuality and youth ministry.
You guys are, that was good.
Right, we practice on the way here.
Every week.
Last week we talked about why engage the issue of sexuality and youth ministry. And today we're going to talk about a way of how to engage the issue.
Yeah.
It's kind of a part one talking about why it's important and why it's important to navigate how to engage it. It's kind of like a double meaning there. But and then we'll continue through. Chris is going to share his message, and then we'll get to a practical 101 of what to do when, like when a student comes to you, or I think we've talked about setting up policies and procedures and guidelines in your ministry and how to practically handle these kind of issues.
Yeah. And I think now just off the top of my head, you know, we'll talk about tackling some topics to give you some content on how to help kids with pornography, masturbation, and then also maybe even dating. Mm-hmm. Cause I know I've been at Cedar Crest it was my fifth school year. And at the end of last school year was my first couple from within, like both of them were in my youth group.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, I was surprised it took so long.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, just kind of had to walk students through dating. I think that's important. So yeah.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. In a future episodes, but today we're going to talk about how to engage the issue, which begins with locating yourself. Tim, what does that mean to locate yourself?
Well, we need to know what we believe. You need to know what you believe so that you are able to teach it right, and also that students are hearing you correct. And when we're kind of handling this is you need to know your scripture biblically, where you stand. Your heart also needs to be in the right place. And as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about my own upbringing and realizing that as I was growing up in my life, my culture, my roots. I grew up in a household where, you know, we didn't really talk about homosexuality. And also during the time frame that I was growing up, it was very taboo in culture. Mm-hmm. And so if you kind of asked me back then about, you know, how the Bible addressed it, you know, the only thing I would know, I would say it's wrong. Yep. That would have been my only answer to you. And even early into college, that's probably all I would have been able to handle at that point.
Yeah, I think that's very important because, you know, we all come into everything with presuppositions, with a history, with a past, mm-hmm. with influences from our parents, from our teachers, from pastors, all those kinds of things. And it's very important to be as objective as possible, but also like to know your predispositions, mm-hmm. your what's the word I'm fishing for? Your biases.
Yeah, biases.
And those kinds of things.
Yeah, because if you're aware of that, at least you can guard yourself against acting on them
right.
when you're dealing with.
So two things that we've written down here that helped me big time was reading good content and additionally asking. And for me, it wasn't necessarily that I ended up asking someone, but it was someone that was in my life that I interned under had a very healthy understanding of God's word and how to address sexuality.
Yeah.
Started helping me understand that, you know, we'll talk about this a little later, but that, you know, Jesus Christ, he loves everyone. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that everybody, you know, is loved by the Father unless they see Christ as Lord. But initially, as people are struggling, they need to know that Christ loves them even in their struggle. It started to help me understand, too, of like the proper terminology. Also, being able to, as a Christian, to be able to care and love all different types of people. And then I started picking up good books, and that was helpful as well.
Yeah, and we last episode talked about some of those books, and so Jared will put those in the show notes for you if you missed that.
Yeah,
I think it's very important that you do some good reading. There are a plethora of good resources out there today,
and new stuff coming out every year.
Oh yeah, I mean, everything's constantly changing. There's different terminology, like you said, and there's different ways to address it. So asking the questions and through reading and even talking to other people and getting a wide range of perspective on this is super important because this is an area where the church has not done a great job. I mean, we kind of talked about last episode where people who are struggling with these issues with homosexuality and things we're going to talk about feel ostracized by the church because they don't feel like the church is where they belong.
Yeah, and we want to be very clear that we on this podcast do believe that to pursue a lifestyle of homosexuality and transgenderism and those kinds of things, or sex outside of marriage with the opposite sex is sin and is wrong. What we're talking about is how the church postures themselves towards these people. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make that clear in case anyone's like, well, what are you guys talking about? But what we need to understand is we just talked about you need to know where you are, what you believe, and why you believe it, what has influenced your decisions, what your posture is towards these people. And then as a kind of grassroots issue, you need to understand this will sound cliche, but we need to be reminded of it over and over again, is that the Bible is our primary source for all areas of life. And this one, Scripture is not silent on these issues, on gender, on sexuality. And then again, we've used this before. Paul tells young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. It's beneficial for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in living righteously, that the man of God, this means those who are ministering, may be complete and equipped for every good work. Mm-hmm. So the Bible is what you need first and foremost to minister to people struggling with these issues.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I've seen things is that, oh, Jesus didn't talk about homosexuality, but like the Bible does.
And it's, so, Jesus is the word.
Right. So you can't throw out the rest of the Bible and just take what Jesus says.
Right. And we can even say that the Bible even makes it very clear that, you know, we might be thrown off that where America is right now. We might kind of say, oh my goodness, like how do we get here? But the Bible's pretty darn clear and also very aware in Romans 1, you have Paul's teaching, and we learn that God says, you know, as people desire sin, and as they don't look to him and they reject him, he gives them what they want.
He gives them over to their debased
mind.
Right,
and then what we see is we just see this downfall of humankind, and we see in the United States is men going after men, women after women, and going on and on and deeper.
Crazier things.
Yeah. So it is important that you yourself are equipped, you use the word of God, you ask good questions, you listen, you use your good resources, and that your heart is in the right place, because as shepherds, we can only lead people as far as we've gone, and you don't want to produce people who are like you if you are not in a good place. So that's very important. The second, out of your own place of being, is to teach.
Yeah,
to teach on it.
And to teach, I think in this topic is to teach the parents. Teach the parents by equipping them and resourcing them with these books or articles that you find that talk on this, because their kids are going to be the ones that are struggling. And as we've said before, they are the primary discipler of the kids. And so they need to be equipped to be able to handle some of these things, because it's, you know, no one knows what parenting is like until you go through it. And so equipping them is helpful.
Yeah. And I'll just chime in here that in my youth ministry, one year we decided to study a book that was called Rethinking Sexuality by Julie Slattery. One of my leaders loved the book so much that she purchased multiple books, and she passed them out to her children because she was so blown out of the water about this teaching, and passed them to her kids because she's like, my kids need to hear this truth. Mm. So again, you equip the parent, the parent then
equips,
which I think, you know, on a quick side, this emphasizes again something that we've said on the podcast, is the importance of ministering underneath and in partnership with the senior leadership of your church, your senior pastor, your elders, your other, you know, your family pastor, if you work underneath one of those, depending on the size of your church, is that they need to be saying things like this from the pulpit. You have to align with them. And if your church as a whole is not speaking rightly on this issue, I think you can still do good things, but it's going to be a major uphill battle.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And so make sure that you do teach on it. So as we're teaching and equipping parents with good resources and articles and things like that, we also need to be teaching our students. This is something that I did a couple years ago. I need to do it again. Just to give you some ideas, is you could do a special series on gospel sexuality. I will say I did 10 weeks, actually ended up being 12. And I will say that was too long. Mm-hmm. That was too much. By the end of it, my leaders and I were sex talked out, to say the least. And we kind of decided, and this is what I need to do this year. It's just 2020. You know what I'm saying? It's been tough. I personally think, I don't know about you guys think, I'd love to hear your thoughts. It'd be better every school year to take 2 to 3 weeks and talk about this issue, but not like I did an entire semester on this issue. And I think that's just too much overload.
We learn in youth ministry that there's things that we always have to come back and touch on every year.
Yep.
And I think sexuality is always one. It could be that you're dealing, you know, with what we're talking about right now, you know, LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. It could be that you're talking about, like you said, dating. It could be that you hit pornography, that you always are taking a break at some point and handling things that are just so culturally, it's a relevant issue that's going on, that they need to have the biblical truth. I mean, on this very subject, another reason that we need to do this, I have learned that for students, they may understand it from the Bible, but they don't have the ability to practically live it out because they have friends that are you know, are homosexual or are transgender or whatever it is. Yeah. And so even though they know what you've taught them, yeah. they may even think they believe it. When you ask them, well, would you be able to say that, tell, you know, speak truth to your friend? They said, you know, no, I think my friend's okay. And you're like, they don't, the truth isn't being lived out.
Yeah. And I would say on that, that if your students don't know how to encounter or engage someone who struggles with same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria, it's because they don't have a love neighbor theology, period, as a baseline. So I would say that those individuals probably don't know how to love people, period, of the world. So I don't think it's just like a homophobic thing. It could be, but personally, I think that that student probably doesn't have much experience just loving any of their unsaved friends well. Right. And so that I think is a baseline we have to teach, that sin is sin. Yes, there are sins that are quote unquote worse than others or show the decay of a society more than others, which I would argue these two do, but sin is sin. And like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I don't treat my neighbor who's divorced wrongly, you know, differently than I have neighbors who are gay. And they're both unbelievers who need Christ, but they're also made in the image of God, and I need to love them. Amen. So that's
well, I think important. It comes from the distortion of what love is in our society. But I think practically on that idea of teaching 1 to 3 weeks, like obviously traditionally, like February avails itself to this kind of topic
because of Valentine's Day.
I would encourage them not doing it during that, because it's already kind of muddied and
it's already gross.
And like Chris, you shared, you've been there at Sucrest for about 5 years.
This is my
first youth group couple.
Yeah.
So you have that obviously, and that avails itself to a certain point, but at the same time, like they're always talking and they're always interacting with other, that kind of relationship. And so I think it's important even just to do it, say, hey, in May, we're going to do it. Cause you know, you're coming up into the summer months and pool parties and things like that.
Yeah. And
is also crucial.
And you know, I did it, I think it was 2018. So that was 2 years ago, and plenty of those kids are gone and plenty of new kids are here. And the kids who were there, if you think they remember anything, it's important, I think, pastorally. And I'll admit, I dropped the ball on this the year, you know, last year, but not touched on it again.
So we recommended a special series, but additionally, we've been talking a lot about this, that, you know, as you are teaching, as you are preaching, as in your youth ministry, you also need to be willing to teach on it as you hit it in the scripture that you're teaching on.
Yes, which that's happened as I've gone through books, James and Ephesians and stuff. But I think another thing, in addition to teaching, and we will talk about some specific issues that we would encourage that you address in your teaching, I think in addition to this, and I just realized we didn't even write this down, guys, but is having open Q&A forums on this issue. Let students know it's okay to ask questions. It's okay for them to be confused. I've told my students, it's okay for you to right now in your mind think and come say, hey, Pastor Chris or Chris, I think it's okay for someone to be gay. Can you please walk me through this? Don't shame them for having that feeling or question. Yes, they might be wrong, but don't shame them. Shepherd them.
And open the door for healthy doubt, that asks questions, that seeks out answers, not just says, oh, I'm going to keep this to myself and live this way, but not tell anyone because I'm scared that I'm going to be made fun of or look dumb or whatever.
People in general, but especially students who are discovering their identity and who they are, will naturally gravitate to where they feel accepted.
Yeah.
And if they feel accepted at school or in a group that, oh, it's good for you to think that way and to have those doubts, because Christianity, they'll in their flesh gravitate towards that group versus if the church says it's okay for you to have those doubts.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's very important. Well, let's move into the specific issues, and I'll start off on one that is that the Lord used powerfully in my youth group, and you guys chime in as well. I think it's important to put the sin of homosexuality and or choosing to pursue homosexuality in its right context. And what I mean by that is this, a lot of people feel that if somebody is a believer, they cannot ever struggle with same-sex attraction, that they sometimes confuse struggling with the attraction to giving into that temptation. And one of the texts that I've used for my students, and this was eye-opening for them, I remember we were at a retreat when we talked about this, Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then he goes on with this list. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, sanctified, justified. And what what I try to explain then to my students is this. I said, let me ask you this. How many of you in this room before Christ were an idolater? Okay, they raise their hands. How many of you struggled with thoughts of lust, adultery? They raise their hands. How many of you ever stole? They raise their hands. I said, since you've been a Christian, have you ever struggled with temptations to those things? They all say yes. So I say, why would we remove those who practice homosexuality from this list? Why would we do that? Paul is saying some of these Christians used to do that. You don't think those men and women never struggled with it after they came to Christ? The difference was they were no longer a slave to that desire. So I think it's very important when we talk about this issue to communicate to young people that we are not condemning those who are struggling. The Bible condemns those who pursue that sin, just like those who pursue any other sin.
Yeah, that's great. That's very helpful. Because I think it gets to that idea that shame aspect, or like, oh, that's a gross negligent sin, and so I can't struggle with that. But there's any other sin we struggle with,
and it's helpful to then move further on in First Corinthians, and you get to First Corinthians 10, and this is a verse many of us know. He goes on to say, you know, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. He tells us, when you're dealing with temptation, I am there,
including the temptation of same-sex attraction.
That's right.
So if you're out there and you're listening and you happen to struggle with this, God sees you, brother. God sees you, sister.
And not only that, he not only sees you, but he's there.
He will equip you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, I think, like we already mentioned, Romans 1, the downward spiral of being turned over to the debased mind. And that's obviously a great passage to talk about in regard to this. But the other things, I think, in specific areas is transgenderism. There's, so prevalent in the culture today.
We have to talk about
people and changing and just on a whim, like, oh, I feel like I'm a boy now. So,
which really, I say that that issue goes much deeper than sexuality. It's actually an issue of identity.
Yeah.
It is. I can declare who I am, and no one outside of me can tell me any different. So, and it's a ridiculous thought, because we didn't choose to be born. We didn't choose who our parents were, and which is our last name.
Right.
God did.
Yeah.
And so it totally goes in the face. It's not just saying I will act sexually how I want. It's I am who I am.
Yeah.
And only God can tell us who we are.
Right.
That's really the root of that issue. So we have to address that.
Yeah. That's where we need to go back and say that we follow the Bibles.
Right.
And we go back. The reason we do, 2 Timothy 3:16.
Yep.
That's where we start. And we talked about this a little bit when we were prepping for this lesson too, that, recent things going on inside of culture, it's in your face.
Yep.
People changing their names and their gender, and then the world telling us that it's wrong for us to even consider that person as anything else before this time, that their whole life they were this, their new gender.
Living a lie.
Yeah. And I was
dead naming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to Al Mohler about a week ago, and he was talking about these very things. And he said, like, how frustrating and how insane it is to think that, maybe you want to go back and learn something from history, but you can't research this one individual because the world is telling you you can't go back and look at this person's original name because you're not allowed to. And if you went to search for this person by their new name, you would never find that information.
Because what they teach you is that they always were who they claim to be now. Now they've simply shed the chains that were holding them. Mm-hmm. And in reality, they've only ensnared themselves further.
Well, I wonder if this comes out, this is, I'm just free thinking right now, from the self-esteem movement. Like when we were kids, like, I remember self-esteem was like the big thing. Like, you got to have self-esteem.
Build it up.
And like building up everyone's, like, even like we joke sometimes with the participation awards and things like that.
Yeah.
But like, I wonder if this is like the next step. Like when we talk about Romans 1 of like that downward spiral, this is like a next step that comes from that. I mean, that seemed healthy. That seemed normal. But now it's like progressing further.
What I think what it is when you tell everyone they're special, and everyone, it's all about you, then it's all about everyone and they realize I'm not special. So now they have to go even further to get attention.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Well, you go even crazier. You go, I'm, you know, you claim to be transgender. And so that it's a lot of it. Some people are genuinely confused.
Yeah.
Some people are craving attention. And it just really depends, which that kind of goes back to what we opened with, is that you really need to love the individual and get to know what their specific struggle is. That you, as much as the media generalizes this, it's not that way.
Yeah.
It's not that way. One last area that we want to encourage you with as far as this specific issues, going back to Romans 1 just for a minute, is that we want to set these issues in context, that, like, you know, 1 Corinthians 6, that a believer can struggle with it. God's grace is wide enough to save all. But the Bible does describe this homosexuality, pursuing that let me back up a second. The Bible does describe the pursuit of homosexual living as a step further down the path of depravity.
Yeah.
It does set it. Like, if you read Romans 1, it is a gradual slide down. When a society decays, they will start at just heterosexual activity outside of marriage, and it will digress downward. Mm-hmm. So you do need to teach your students that this is an even further rebellion against God, because it not only goes against his specific revelation, the word, it goes against natural revelation, what nature teaches you. So I think that's important. In this issue, we talked about the culture. Some of the things that we won't talk about these right now, but talk about them. But we will mention them. You need to be familiar with things like LGBTQAI+++++++++. So the nth degree, Black Lives Matter, and as an organization, Planned Parenthood, what they're learning in the schools and the curriculums today. Students are being taught today from preschool and kindergarten that these things are normal and natural, and if you think differently, you're a bigot. Bias news sources and even the lingo. There's different words out there. Like, we talk about dead naming. What is that? Like, we need to know what these things mean. So you want to be familiar with these so you can help your students navigate them.
Yeah.
Additionally, we were saying that there's also tough issues like intersex, lastly, we're just saying that we also need to know, Chris has been talking about this a lot, that inside your youth ministry, but in general, teaching your students that you can be firm in your teaching and know the truth and know it well and know these things are wrong, but you still can understand that God calls you to love all.
Yeah.
You know, the church, we're supposed to be that incredible example of the most greatest love ever seen, that Jesus gave us that greatest example. But then also we're called, you know, who's our neighbor?
Everyone.
Our neighbor, yes. Our neighbor is our everyone, including our enemies.
Yeah.
So we want to go on.
I just want to summarize what you just said. I think it's important we remember, when we convey God's truth, we have to also convey his heart.
Yeah.
So as God would speak what he says, we need to speak with the same tone, with the same posture. So if God is saying, hey, your homosexual lifestyle is a sin, We need to make sure we're saying it the way God is, which Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden and broken. I want to heal you."
So, just a simple transition to our last point here is
second to last.
Well, we're going to move to this one right here. You may be overwhelmed. You might be overwhelmed as a thinking, how am I going to be handling this all on my own? How can I incorporate this all in my teaching? How can I handle all this? How can I be aware of all of these things? This is where in your youth ministry, we've talked about this. Lean in on small group ministry. Lean in on your small group leaders. We've said equip them, prep them, but teach them and get them ready to be able to teach, to be loving and caring to the students, then to be able to let the students talk to them, that they can get questions, also equip them to understand if they don't have an answer, don't try to make one up. Say, we love you. I need to think about this. I'll get back to you. But we need to lean in on our small group leaders and into small group ministry.
Kids are way more prone to be honest and open in smaller settings. And I think that's important.
Well, it's the multiplication mindset of, like, you as a person, individual, can only reach so many people.
Yep.
Pouring into the small group, you spread that. If you devote most of your time to the small group leaders, equipping them, they can then go and equip and teach the students so much better than we can from the upfront. Yeah. And obviously there's a place for that. But even like going back to the specific applications, like even addressing these things as you're teaching through something that's not a specific topic, you know, like you're not teaching on sexuality or anything like that, but it, in the scripture, as you're teaching in Ephesians or whatever, you apply it to this situation so that people know that they're heard, know that the Bible talks about this stuff and know that it reaches them and not just in generic and broad terms.
This is huge. So we talked in the first main segment about teaching on this issue, or the second one on teaching on this issue. And this is no matter what you teach, you know, applying it to this issue, to these people, you know, and just an example of that is, you know, if you're preaching that God's grace is wide and he'll save anyone, and you're giving a list, whether you're a thief or a liar, make sure you say whether you struggle with same-sex attraction, or you are in a homosexual relationship, or you are confused about your gender identity, or you've declared yourself to be opposite of what you are, God sees you and will save you. Because when you do that, people recognize that they are not outside of the span there of God's arms. And I think that's so important when we teach, to let students know that God sees them and that God will save them, even if, especially if they struggle with these things.
Yeah.
And for a future episode, you know, as you're handling these things, we talked about that. You need to also know when you need to go to the professionals. We'll be talking more about this,
counselors,
probably in the practical tips, but know you need to know when it's the time to move someone into a professional counselor.
And I will say, I don't know how national they are. I feel like they're a big organization, but we're in the Eastern PA, in Philly, if you're in our area, Harvest USA is a fantastic organization. I would put them forward. I had a student who struggled with a particular sexual sin, and I counseled them and helped their parents. But at the end of the day, we sent him to Harvest, and they did 8 sessions, and it was fantastic, and it was free. So let me put that out there. Harvest USA.
We'll include that in links in the show notes for sure. So I think that wraps up this episode. Heavy, heavy stuff, guys.
Yeah, very heavy stuff. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Another Youth Ministry Podcast. We are thankful for you and your ministry to teenagers. May God bless you in your work as you faithfully serve him, teenagers, and their families. Please connect with us on social media, on Instagram at AnotherYM Podcast, or you can email us at AnotherYM Podcast@gmail.com.